Yanky is my best Israeli reporter. So looking forward. Well, you don't need to look forward anymore because he is on the line. Shalom, Yanky. Thank you for being with us on Chai FM.
Hello. Yeah, good evening. Good afternoon.
Yanky, a lot's going on in Israel. Dafka, I want to start today with something that isn't making the news, and yet two or three people have asked me about it. Yanky, apparently the Egyptian army is undertaking exercises in the Sinai Peninsula, very, very close, if not next to the border with Israel. Is this something that one needs to be concerned about? Why are they doing this?
Well, complicated. Because according to the agreement, to the peace agreement that Israel signed with Egypt, you know, a long time ago, they're not allowed to do it. But they can get special permission for different reasons that we don't know. So they did ask the Israelis, and the Israelis gave them permission. But the problem is, because of what happened on 7th of October, people are very sensitive, mm-hmm. and they're very upset, and they said, why do you give them permission? This is how 7th of October started. Nobody did anything. Nobody cared. So please, you know, it's the people who live at the border who are really going crazy. But look. Some people say nothing to be worried. Some people say we must watch. But seriously, it's gone. I mean, people spoke about it like for 1 hour, and we went on to the next thing that's going on in Israel. Nobody talks about it anymore. Because okay. maybe it wasn't a big deal, but because of 7th of October, people are very sensitive.
Okay. As I came into studio, I had a look at my feed and there was an article saying that the United Arab Emirates has left OPEC. Do you know if that's true and what is the significance of that if
true.
It is true?
It's true. Yeah, it's true and it's very, very important and you need to understand. In now, you know, all the Gulf countries were like all together when they sold the oil. I'm not saying it was a cartel, you know, but they all been together Yeah, when you buy petrol for your car, you pay how much the people in Gulf countries wants to. So now what they did is they left it. They left those organizations. Now they're going to sell oil any price they want. And it's like basically helping Donald Trump. Now, till now, they needed to sell the oil in a certain amount of money that everybody agrees. So it wasn't cheap, of course. Now they can sell it much cheaper, so the oil is going to go down, and it's going to help America to, you know, to get the oil down, and it's basically against Iran, because Iran is selling oil probably more expensive, and it's also against Saudi Arabia, against Qatar. Those countries are selling oil more expensive, so now if United Arab Emirates is going to sell oil cheaper, then everybody's going to have to sell cheaper, because it helps America. Now, the reason why, because United Arab Emirates are very, very friendly with Donald Trump, and they want to help him, and they want to get the prices down, and they're doing it since they're going to start from the 1st of May in a few days, and it's a big thing. So and also, it's going to help the world to buy cheaper oil, and it's against Iran and Saudi Arabia and all those countries who don't really help Donald Trump. United Arab Emirates, listen, they've been hit by over 500 rockets from Iran and about, I don't know how many drones. So they really did it to, you know, to show some other countries in Gulf, we are not with you. We are going to help Donald Trump to get the oil down.
It's fascinating. It's fascinating they've been brave enough to make a stance like that, because up until now, it seems to me that they've kind of all played both sides of the fence. The UAE now coming down firmly in the camp of America, unequivocally so.
No, they haven't played on both sides. They helped America and Israel really, really a lot. But they helped Israel a lot. But it wasn't on the news, because at the end of the day, they are surrounded by other countries and they don't want to make a big thing of it. But it's not like in Israel that everybody, that you post everything that people do. They're much more quiet, but they helped a lot Israel.
Let's move on to this next story making headlines on the Times of Israel. Zelensky very upset with Israel apparently buying Ukrainian grain from Russia. What is the details of that story?
Seriously, nobody really knows exactly what's going on. But yes, Israel is not buying. Israel is letting a Russian ship you know, to come to Haifa for 1 or 2 days, maybe to get petrol, maybe to be, you know, to get some mechanic, you know, maybe something wrong with the thing. I don't think Israel is buying food from, you know, those things from Ukraine. They're just giving them some, you know, assistance. And Ukraine is going crazy, and EU is going crazy. And but I think it's something not really big, and it's going to be, you know, after tomorrow, nobody's going to talk about it. But we don't know the reason why Israel is helping Russia, because Russia is very friendly with Israel, and they work together in the Syrian border. They work together in other places. Well, they're not very friendly at the end of the day, because they're also friendly with Iran. So, but there is a reason why Israel is doing it, not just because they want to do it, because there's something behind it, and we don't know what's the reason.
Okay, interesting. I want to move over to the Jerusalem Post, where the headline this afternoon is the following: Trump claims Iran is in a state of collapse. And then a second issue, debates emerge over Arrow missiles to Germany. Maybe you can touch on both those issues.
Yeah, so first of all, I didn't hear the first thing, but I heard about Germany. Germany, yeah, it's a big thing that Israel sold to Germany the Arrow and the Arrow rockets, and, you know, a country that wanted to destroy the Jewish nation 8 years ago, and now they're buying, you know, they need protection from Israel. It's really good for Israel, because it's a lot of money, billions of euro, and I think some other countries will buy it, but Israel is not selling it to every country. Quite a few countries wanted to buy it, but Israel is not selling it to every country, because first of all, some of the countries, we don't trust them. And second, we need permission from America, because it's been done by American money. I mean, it's maybe an Israeli, you know, it's Israeli producing, but it's with American money. And when Israel is selling something like that, they need permission from America. So
Yanky,
it's a big thing, yeah.
It seems like you're not touching on the issue that's upsetting Israelis the most, which is you're in the middle of a war. Don't you need these Arrow missiles for yourselves?
Haven't they put lives at risk? No, it's something that they paid for it a long time ago. They paid for it 5 years ago, and it's a special, it's special for Germany. It has nothing to do with the Israeli rockets. And you know something? People say Israel is short of missiles. It's not true.
Okay, interesting perspective.
It's just, it's not true. The reason why it's been published, maybe some people don't like us. Well, a lot of people don't like us, but people who don't like us have published it, and sometimes Israel itself is spreading misinformation because they want to mess around with Iran. But it's not true. We're not short of, rockets that protect us. Nothing to be worried about it.
The first story that I mentioned, which you didn't hear properly, was the fact that Donald Trump was saying that Iran's economy is in a really bad place, that they're almost in a state of collapse. He's been known to exaggerate issues. How are the Iranians faring from an economic perspective?
Well, you know, I really don't know how they can live and how they can survive. They have no money coming in. They have no money going out. And they really, really poor country. Instead of investing money in their country, they invested money in terror organizations around the Middle East. And every day I hear there is more and more problems, and they're going to collapse, and, you know, they don't have money, and this and that. They're trying to sell oil to China through, I don't know how to send it to China, because they have no ability to send it to China, and because America is destroying everything at the sea. So we just need, and Donald Trump just said that Iran is begging to open again Hormuz, and America said no. So I don't know. I think there will be, in the end of the week, something. Either there will be an agreement, either Israel is going to attack again.
Okay, because the Americans just turned down the latest Iranian proposal, which wanted to delay nuclear talks till after the opening of the straits.
No, and listen, we know the bunch of liars, and Donald Trump and Marco Rubio, the secretary, said yesterday that he knows exactly the Iranian, how they mess around, and the only thing they're good in is pushing and wasting time for everybody. So I don't think Donald Trump would accept what Iran wants. I don't know how it's going to end, but it's probably going to end with a war again.
Last issue that I want to raise with you this afternoon, Iyanki, is the fact that Yair Lapid has apparently offered his second place spot to Gadi Eisenkot if he would come and join the Beyachad party. It's interesting because that seems to be the elusive prize, is getting Eisenkot in. It hasn't had the effect on the Seker Mandatim, the survey of seats, that the leaders were hoping it would. Apparently, Eisenkot and Netanyahu have been strengthened and not Beyachad.
Yeah, well, look, it's very complicated to explain because, first of all, election is in 6 months' time. And there is a lot of time, you know, things can be changed. Also, you've got to remember that, you know, getting together many, many parties, it's not always good because when so many people get together, then what? So they're going to get 40 seats, let's say, 4-0, and even 45. What are they going to do with it? They need 61 without the Arab parties. So, you know, getting together is not always good. Why? Because let's say, I'm talking about myself. I want to vote for a party, let's say, that Ben-Gvir is not part of it. But I want to vote for a party that somebody else from his party is in. Let's say I support Smotrich, but I don't support Ben-Gvir. Yeah. And they're going to run together, I'm not going to vote for them. So it's not always good to be together. So what's going to happen? Let's say, you know, Benny Gantz and Yoaz Endel, they might join Eisenkot, and that's a good idea. They should not waste votes if they're not going to make it. So it's too early to, you know, to actually say how the next government is going to look like. But, you know, the Israeli polls are not always right, because I'll tell you why. Not because they're not good, not because they post something not true, because there is about 300,000 Israelis who every election decide only when they get to the actually voting who they're going to vote for. So, and this is about 10 seats. And this is what makes the difference in every election in Israel. 10 seats always decide. You know how many times I went to an election and I decided when I was in the, when I had the envelope in my hand.
Really?
I decided who to vote for. And it's about 10 seats, about 300,000 Israelis always decide in the last second. And that's why it's impossible to know who is going to, because, you know, in America, you have Democrats and Republicans. So if you're Democrat, you're not going to vote Republican. And if you're Republican, you're not going to vote Democrat. But if I'm going to vote Likud, I can vote at the same thing Gadi Eisenkot.
Yeah, yeah.
No, and it's a big difference. That's why it's impossible to know who is going to win the election, because people change their mind. And also, you know, people change their mind in Israel because security issues. If, I don't know, let's say, let's say Israel is going to destroy Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran, and there will be no danger. Netanyahu can get 50 seats. And if it's not going to work, Gadi Eisenkot can get 40 seats. So he can be changed in the last second. That's why it's very hard to understand. And Lapid gave his second place. It's not a big thing, because Lapid wasn't in good position in the last few weeks. If you saw, some of the polls didn't even give him 4 seats, you know, to go to the Knesset. He's like, he was really in a bad position. So it's not a big difference if he's second place or third place, because he's probably going to be, if they're going to win, he's going to be the foreign minister, and Gadi Eisenkot will be the defense minister, and Naftali Bennett will be prime minister. So it doesn't really matter who is first and who is second.
Yanky Farber, as always, thank you so very much for your input. I've got no doubt I'll be talking to you sooner rather than later. Really appreciate your time.